Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with a great guest again today. I know we just keep bringing them. And you know what? I can honestly say it is all the Lord. It is amazing to me how the Lord keeps just providing week after week after week the guests that he puts in our laps. And sometimes there are people that we reach out to, and oftentimes there are people that reach out to us and say, you know, we've listened to your podcast and we would love to just come and encourage your audience. And so however we get them on the show, it is an exciting thing, and we love to just see the Lord working in this way. So like every other week, we have another great guest today that you are going to be so encouraged by this week. His name is Jonathan Brush, and he's the president and CEO of an organization called Unbound. And this is a topic that we have not tackled a whole lot, but it's such a neat discussion that we are going to have today. And we're talking kind of about raising kids to be adults in God's kingdom. Really, I mean, Jonathan, would you say that's a good way to describe our conversation?
Absolutely. I hope that's what we get to talk about. It's something that I can get pretty passionate about talking about. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, so much fun. Well, introduce us to yourself and your family and what it is that the Lord has called you to do.
Yeah, so I get to work with some really cool students, do some really cool stuff. I'm married to my college sweetheart. So we were both homeschooled students. We were first homeschooled students admitted to our college. Found each other. And so that was pretty cool. And then we've homeschooled our own children, 6 now, 2 of whom are graduates. And so that has been a journey as well. So we get to stand on the shoulders of giants in terms of our families who, you know, the longer I do this, the more I wonder how on the earth my mom ever figured this out and thought about it pre-internet and all those things. And yet we've really been able to receive those blessings and go forward. And because of my career, entirely in education, I just had a really neat opportunity to work with young people, often when they're making really big decisions. And so this idea of becoming an adult and what it looks like and how it changes as our culture shifts is something I'm passionate about, something I'm excited about, and something that I've been blessed to have kind of a front row seat on and have picked up a few things along the way. And if I can share that with people in a way that helps them, I think that's a pretty cool opportunity.
Yeah, that's awesome. You know, we tell our girls that there are two things that are the two decisions that are the most important decisions they'll ever make in their whole life. The first one, of course, is their decision to follow Christ. The second decision is who they choose to marry. But there is a third decision, and that third decision, I would say, is how you choose to impact God's kingdom in your adult life. Because what you do with your adult years, even though it can change, you know, from time to time and year to year with different career choices and stuff, having that goal and mindset of honoring the Lord with the gifts and talents that he's given you. You know, we say it on the podcast all the time, God created each one of us on purpose and for a purpose. And so teaching our kids what their purpose is in life is something that's easy to say, but oftentimes it's really hard to do. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about kind of how we can help our kids to understand what their purpose is in life, and how they can use those gifts and talents and abilities to serve his kingdom and to impact his kingdom. So I want to kind of talk about adulthood and, you know, what does it mean to be an adult? Because I think that's something, you know, you see the t-shirts sometimes that people wear. As a matter of fact, I saw someone wearing it the other day that said, "I just can't adult today." Like, what does that even mean? I think it just means like, I don't want to have to be responsible for anyone or anything. but when you look at adulthood, what do you see that to mean?
Yeah, I have a kind of a pet peeve. We've turned adult into a verb. I'm adulting, or I'm not going to adult today. I think that often is kind of a hidden way of saying I want to avoid responsibility. And I think that's been my working definition as I've worked with young people sort of making this transition, is that you're an adult when you are capable of independence and full responsibility. Now, I'm always careful to say that doesn't mean you have to be fully independent. I don't believe that you become an adult when you, you know, get your first apartment or something like that. It's that you have the ability to be independent. You know, you may choose to continue to live at home, or you may choose to do some other arrangement that makes sense, but you have the ability to support yourself, and you have the ability to take the responsibility for yourself and for your actions. So you're fully responsible, have the ability to be fully independent, and then you're an adult. And I don't know if this is a spoiler alert, but I don't think that that happens at 18. I think that happens significantly earlier.
Yeah.
And this is not an original idea to me. I picked this up from listening to somebody speak at a conference one time, but I don't believe in teenagers. I don't have any, never have had any. I don't use the word. I don't like the implication, the cultural implication of it. I have children, and then I have young adults. And there's a speaker and a guy does a podcast that some of you may have heard of called Andy Andrews. And he said, the goal is not to raise great children. The goal is to raise great adults.
Amen.
And that has been a really helpful clarifying perspective for me. That's what we're aiming for. And that's what we're trying to look to do.
Yeah. Why do you think it's so hard for people to get into this world of young adulthood? And I love that. I mean, that's absolutely true, because I heard years ago, you know, like you, someone said, you know, we're not raising children, we're raising adults. Mm-hmm. And that really is what we're doing. We're taking these young people and raising them to become responsible, Jesus-loving, functional adults. But why do we find that so difficult?
Yeah, you know, I hear this, people talk about this a lot, and I think that there's a temptation to have a knee-jerk reaction to this and say, because people are just, you know, delayed adolescence and Peter Pan syndrome and all those things. Those are real topics to discuss, and I'm not belittling those. But I think there's something maybe a little more subtle going on here. And that is that the world has gotten tremendously more complicated. Mm-hmm. And I believe that every generation faces their own challenges. So I'm not big on this, like, oh, it's so hard now. I mean, compared to, you know, the fact that most people have much shorter life expectancy, or that wars were sort of normal. I mean, like, we have a lot of advantages now, but there are certain challenges that every generation has to face, right? And one of our challenges is that the world changes really breathtakingly fast. Mm-hmm. And that also what you do, we talked earlier about, your calling and what you can do, the ways you can impact the kingdom are breathtakingly wide. I mean, a generation or so ago, there were kind of limited options. And two generations ago, there were only a handful. And so there is this kind of paralysis by analysis that, you know, you look and say, I don't know how to do this stuff. But there's something that's even a little more subtle that goes on, which is, as that's kind of through, it used to be adequate to have an answers paradigm, you know, because, and we can get into this maybe in a deeper conversation later, but to know the answers was really advantageous. Well, we live in a different time now, right? I mean, we all carry cell phones and get answers really quickly. And so answers are less helpful than asking great questions. But we still have this paradigm that forces young adults and says, if you want to really be effective, if you want to live your life well, then you need to know all the answers. And when you say all the answers, you need to know what your career is, which means you have to know what you want to major in, which means you know, then you'd know what college to go to, and that going to college is really essential. And if you don't go to college, you're going to be a loser. And so look, 16, 17-year-old, you have to have your entire life planned out and know where you're going to retire from before you can make the big decision about going to college. And if you get it wrong, pretty bad outcome right there.
Yeah.
Now, few people say that directly, although I've heard something pretty close to that from guidance counselors occasionally. But, you know, that's the sort of predominant cultural message. That's extremely paralyzing. Mm-hmm. So if you're like, wow, I've got to know those answers, I have no idea even how to get to those answers. So, you know, it'd be a lot safer not to become an adult, not to have to face those things. The longer I can delay, maybe somehow lightning will strike and I'll figure this out, and then I'll know what to do. So until then, better not get into that adult thing, because the stakes are so high. And that's, like I said, it's a little more subtle, but I think from my experience, that's one of the kind of behind the scenes reasons. And I sort of detailed here, because if you want to understand that, we need to understand that to be able to most effectively help our young people, our own children, as well as others, to kind of effectively make this transition from children to adults.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's take a quick break. We'll be right back.
What we do at IEW is break through the noise of the grammar and the writing prompts. And we say, this is what you do, step by step. And I've witnessed it over and over again, both watching Andrew teach and hearing from parents, this is the best writing program. We've made it so easy and made it really affordable. So any mom can teach writing to their children using our course, and we guarantee it.
For more information, visit IEW.com. That's IEW.com. We are back with Jonathan Brush from Unbound and talking about adulthood. And, you know, it's interesting because when you look at kids, and for some reason, I tend to think more of young men in this category, but you look at them through the ages of, you know, maybe 15, 16, 17 years old, and you see some who are incredibly immature. And I mean, they don't even clean their own bedrooms. They don't do anything around the house. You know, their mama still mamas them all the time. And then you have other boys and girls of those ages who, I mean, they're just ready to run into adulthood. Like they're done being a kid. They want to be an adult. They want to jump into this world of their own where they can make their own decisions and kind of create their own life. And I think that there are different things that play into that. You know, oftentimes it could be that they no longer want to be under the authority of their parents, which I think can be a very dangerous place to be because they're maybe not ready for adulthood, but they're just done being told what to do. And that's hard for parents because as parents, you know, we want to help guide and direct and disciple our kids into being responsible, mature adults. And then you've got, like I said, the kids who, you know, they would just stay in mama's lap until they're 40 if they could. And so how can we train our kids to enter that world of adulthood with confidence and with knowing like, this is how God created me. This is what he created me for. And now I'm going to run with it and pursue that in and for my life.
Yeah. So one of the things that kind of comes with this sort of weird culture moment that we have is that we now live in a moment where the anomaly is standard. And if that sounds like it's slightly different from your question, I mean to set that up to answer your question directly. Sure. Because and understanding that kind of behind the scenes thing is pretty important to sort of getting the bigger picture here. And what I mean by the anomaly is standard, I sometimes call this a fighter pilot syndrome. If people want to be a fighter pilot, and if they talk to fighter pilots say, work hard, do really good at school, and really want what you want and go for it. And that worked really great for them because they're a fighter pilot, right? Yeah. But that meant that they were this really rare breed that got, you know, went to the Air Force Academy or to the Naval Academy, and then they got into their first placement, and then they got into their fighter squadrons, and then they were the top of their class, the top of the class, the top of the class. They absolutely worked hard, and that absolutely worked for them. But, you know, they're like the 1% of the 1%, and there's a big 99%+ of people that tried really hard and missed, right? Does that mean that their lives are not that great, or does that mean that they have no opportunity to serve the kingdom? No. But you know who gets the microphone? The fighter pilot,
right?
The anomaly, right? And so we see that a lot now with, you know, everybody wants to be Mark Zuckerberg. Well, Mark Zuckerberg was an anomaly. That's not normal to run a social media empire. There weren't such things as social media empires. And to run at that age is pretty crazy. And yet social media makes all that stuff look standard, right? So what happens is that students have that paralysis, like, oh, there's all these options. But then there's all this expectation I can go fast and I got to do this right away. And if I miss it by just a little bit, if it doesn't happen instantly, then something must be wrong. I've missed something. I don't know something. Something needs to happen and I better just wait for that. And so they sit back. So when you say, how do we kind of challenge our students or how do we kind of help them do that? One is to burst that anomaly bubble and say, look, these things take time. There's a process of discovery here where you have to ask questions instead of just assuming answers. And you have to build skill and you have to gain experience. And that process, it's not 2 years. It's not 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's not 4 years like everything else all of a sudden. It's like 5, 10, or 15 years. And if you know that, then that can be an exciting process of discovery, right? That can really be exciting for somebody. But you know, you're gonna, like in a work situation, you're gonna do a lot of work that's not the coolest thing ever, where you gain skill and experience. And after 10 or 15 years of that, you can trade that skill and experience for autonomy and work that makes a difference. And you're probably going to love whatever you do. And there's a lot of things you can love, but it takes longer than you think. Most people check out before then. So I tell parents a lot, and I try to remember my life, that I don't have to know everything to give my kid. That's also an answers paradigm. Instead, if I have to default to anything else, it's that build good relational capital with them and always encourage curiosity and always provide the context. I'm the adult in the room, right? And in this case, the adult with the experience. And I say, look, you don't have to figure it all out right now. ask the question and pursue it and figure out what's next and use that to ask a better question and then keep going and kind of let that dig your curiosity. And if you're tired of something, shift and go to something else. Just keep moving, keep going and have patience and realize it might take longer than everybody else. Don't pay attention to that social media junk that shows the anomalies. Instead, do your thing. And I'm telling you, I'm speaking from experience. I'm giving you my wisdom and saying, I don't know all the stuff that has to happen here. I just know if you keep down this path, if you keep asking the question, you're going to get the answers. And that'll lead you to places you don't expect, but it's pretty exciting. Enjoy the journey while you do it. There's a lot of blessings along the way, and you're going to grow into whatever God's called you to do. And I say that because the bad news is there's no secret formula. I'm not going to say, hey, do these eight things, your kid's going to be an adult. But I want to say it to depressurize for both students and parents and say, take a deep breath and relax here, right? Just encourage that curiosity, build that relationship, give them perspective of knowing this takes longer than they think, and keep moving and then see what cool things happen. There are going to be things you don't expect either. And that's one of the really neat things is walking as a Christian, to seeing the surprising things that God does.
Yeah. You know, I want to back up a little bit because you mentioned before that you were homeschooled, both you and your wife. And mm-hmm. So you were homeschooled, you know, years ago, obviously. I mean, you've got grown children now and still, you know, younger ones at home as well. But things were very different for you growing up than they are for your kids. And you've brought up social media a few times. How do you see the difference in raising kids to be adults today from what it looked like when you were growing up? Because it is very different today simply because of social media. You know, we had growing up, we had the news and we had the newspaper and we had the magazines and those things. But social media has brought on a whole new realm of pressure when it comes to raising our kids and for kids themselves to figure out really who they are, because we look at the rest of the world on social media and think that they are one way when in reality they're not who we think they are. And then we tend to think, well, we're not as good as that person. And you know, I know as a mom, oftentimes I look at people's posts and I'm like, well, man, I'm not as good of a cook as her. I'm not as good of a teacher. We don't have these fancy vacations. We don't, you know, I don't measure up, because you're constantly seeing everyone else's life moving at this faster pace, it seems. So how have you seen that paradigm shift from when you were growing up to now raising your own kids in a completely different world?
Yeah, so there's two things that just jump immediately to mind. One of the young adults that I know very well asked me a couple months ago, were you stressed when you're growing up? And I said, what do you mean stressed? She said, well, you stressed out about things. And I let, you know, you look back with some rose-colored glasses, but I was like, I don't know what you mean by stressed out. I mean, like, you know, I was stressed out because the girl I liked didn't like me. You know, that's kind of stuff. You know, I'd be stressed out if I had a big test coming. Stressed out because I couldn't figure out some of those things. But I, you know, not really. I mean, that's not the predominant emotion I think about.
Sure.
And she sort of kind of wistfully said, I don't remember a time when I wasn't stressed out. Mm. And I thought, wow, there's your kind of revelation of what social media can do to you. And this is not a person I would consider as addicted to social media. I think actually quite a balanced, mature person overall. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was really breathtaking. I don't remember a time when I wasn't stressed out, which sent me on this path of kind of asking some of these questions. What is it that's behind the scenes that kind of press these things? I don't want to throw up my hands and say, well, it's just that darn social media. You know, what? There's some bigger foundational principles behind that to kind of drive that. So that's one. The second is kind of the choices, right? We were homeschooled. That was really weird. I knew almost nobody else homeschooled when I was growing up. We got all the stuff. You know, we did truant officer drills and had the HSLDA phone number memorized, all crazy stuff. First person admitted to college. I didn't even know what homeschooler was. My mom helped write the admission requirements, all that kind of weird stuff, right? But it also meant if I just went to college and didn't fail out, I was awesome. My choices were much more narrow. So I didn't have this huge, and so that's both a blessing and a curse, right? It didn't occur to me that I had 20 options. I was the first male in my family line that ever gone to college. And if I got into college and didn't disgrace the family, it was going to be a stunning success, right? So didn't care what I majored in, didn't think about the career afterwards. So you can look at that both ways. I mean, now there's some advantages, right? I think there's all kinds of really cool options for students, including really cool college options that just didn't exist back then. So those are neat, but they also add to that stress. I don't know that I have all the solutions to that, but there's just one thing that I like to always tell people, and that is this stuff is often optional, right? You know, like social media is optional. It's not something you have. Nobody's forcing you to participate in it. And I will just say, And I don't hold this up because we're like expert parents. We've made, you know, we tend to figure things out when we're on fire and flaming out. But, you know, my kids didn't get phones until after they had driver's license and jobs. And sometimes that was as late as 18. And it wasn't because I prohibited them. It just, they didn't think about it because we didn't consider that a necessity. Consequently, out of 6 kids, my oldest 20 is on some social media. The rest aren't. They're not banned. I've never told them they couldn't. Mm-hmm. They just don't need it. And I don't say that because it's like, oh, look, isn't that awesome? I say that because it's, if you think about it as an option,
yeah,
then you can say no to it. And that right there is a kind of a first defense to sort of depressurizing some of this stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be very, very stressful. And I think it can really distract kids from becoming who God created them to be. So we're going to talk more about that. We are out of time for this episode, but we will be back on Wednesday. We're going to talk more about the topic of raising kids to be adults. And I want to kind of focus a little bit more in the next episode on what students need to learn before we launch them into the world. because we did talk a little bit about that already, but I want to kind of focus on that a little bit more. And then we're going to talk a little bit about college as well, and what that might look like for our kids today. So thank you, Jonathan. We mentioned at the beginning that you're the president and CEO of Unbound. Where can people find Unbound and find out more about that organization?
Yeah, absolutely. Go to beunbound.us. You can find our website there. Of course, there's a blog. We do a podcast as well. So if you have time after listening to this really cool podcast and want to listen to something else, you can learn more about us through that. But that's a place to connect with us, to learn about us, and to read more about us. And so we'd love for you to visit there and learn a little bit about what we do.
Yeah, awesome. And we will be talking about that as well. So thank you guys for listening today. We will be back with you on Wednesday to finish this conversation. Talk to you then. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.